Okay, so now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, so please offer a warm Valley Group welcome to Jennifer. Woo!
Hi, Vitalia.
I'm not nervous at all.
I love your format and I love the people even more. You guys are amazing. I am super nervous. I'm so grateful that you asked me to be here tonight, and I'm emotional. I'm starting already. that's okay. The reason why I am so emotional is because I have so much compassion for this program and what it's done. It saved my life, and I know it can save yours too if you are just a little bit willing. And I know that you are because you showed up here tonight. I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. Well, first, I'm going to let you know that my sobriety date is October 27, 2012. I haven't spoken in a long time, and I'm sure it's showing just a little bit, but that's okay. The first step for me was extremely difficult for me because I thought I was in control of my life. And my sponsor, literally, we were on the phone for a couple hours because I just wasn't getting it at first. And I ran out of battery. She had to charge it, had to call her back. I mean, it was a long process just to get to the first step. And finally, she said, "Have you ever woken up and decided that you didn't want to drink and you ended up drinking?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Okay, you're powerless over alcohol." So I said, okay. So it was a very slow but progressive just moving into AA. A long time ago, I was introduced to AA through my father because I was this big going to AA meetings that he was court assigned to go to. So it was plugged into my head when I was a little girl. I took my first drink at 3.5 years old because I was daddy's little girl, and I remember it. My dad drank Coors, and I loved the smell on his mustache, and it was sitting on the kitchen counter, and I ran in there, and I took a sip, and I went, "Wee!" but I don't really remember having much alcohol in between the stages. My disease just progressed worse and worse. And as I was driving here to Visalia, at the latter part of my disease, I remember that alcohol got me out of bed, got me to work, got me, excited about a lunch break because I would stop and walk to 7-Eleven or go to 7-Eleven on my lunch. I'd have a little cooler at my desk, and I'd be popping cans at work because I was so arrogant. That's where my disease led me. And those weren't even the darkest days. I was crying out for help. I didn't really know it. But I just got really led to some dark days. But I do like to stay in the solution because I'm definitely an alcoholic, and I love to admit it because I have solutions and I have a program, and it works for me. And I am alive because of the program. I got a recent kind of awakening. I got blessed with the gift of desperation not so long ago because a friend of mine, she came to the program and she went out. And I was right to that edge of going back down myself, but I had no idea that I was that close. I took her share. I can't tell you how important it is for us to not only show up in the meetings, but to share. And she had the balls to say that she went back out. She came to meetings drinking, and she was sharing my story. If I were to go out, she was sharing my story of what would happen to me, that nobody was noticing, so what difference does it make? I had been getting lackadaisical in my meetings because I was coming up with excuses. My life was okay. I had to take care of my mom, so I'm too tired to go to a meeting. My mom's in the hospice. I need to stay home for my husband because he hit his head at work. I need to take care of the dogs. I have stuff to do. I'm tired. I'm sick. I don't want to go. All these things that were coming into my mind, and I was going from 5 meetings a week to 1. Sometimes none. There was 2 weeks out of this year where I didn't go to a meeting. And let me tell you, it hit me real hard when she shared her story. She was sharing her story as if I had gone out. And it scared the daylights out of me. I can't tell you how important it is that these steps, that you use these steps, and that you have a sponsor or you sponsor or both. My sponsor was... She's exactly what I needed to hear. She made me go to meetings when I didn't want to go. I'd be bawling and crying and just get through mowing the lawn and dirty, and she's like, go to a meeting. I'm like, I'm late. She said, I don't care. Get to a meeting and call me when you're done. And I would go. I would go to meetings dirty and smelly and full of grass and not wanting to go. 10 minutes into the meeting, I was thanking God that I was there. Every time. I got voluntold that I needed to secretary a meeting 3 months into my sobriety, and I had no idea what you people are talking about. He told me to go to a business meeting. Thank you. And so I showed up. People are talking about treasurers and business meetings and what's a prudent? What is prudent? Anyway, what's a reserve? I mean, I had no idea this. I was grabbing the dictionary. I was just like, oh my God, are these words? And they're so big, and it was just like overwhelming. And they're like, okay, well, you can take a meeting. You know, you don't have to, you can do it. And I'm like, okay, and here's the key, and just show up next week, and we'll show you what to do. And I'm like, okay. And all I knew is I heard laughter, and I heard conversations, and I heard things that I didn't understand that I wanted to find out that what they meant. So I had the gift of desperation and the willingness to just show up. And there were times when I had that meeting and I didn't want to show up. And I showed up. And again, too, there were times where I wanted to go drink, but I couldn't because my ego wouldn't allow me to show up at a meeting drunk and be the secretary and be in front of all you people and lie. I just couldn't do that. All of a sudden, you guys gave me responsibility. Responsibility I didn't want, but it grew on me. It kept me sober. And when I got 30 days, I'm backing up a little bit, but when I got 30 days of sobriety, I'll remember it because it was Thanksgiving Day, 2012. I spent it by myself through a drive-thru. I got my dog and I a Carl's Jr. hamburger, and it was miserable and it was sad, but I had 30 days of sobriety. I didn't have that before. And that's what kept me sober, is 30 days of sobriety. I'm so proud of you guys standing up on the stage and saying that you had however many days that you had, whether it was 17 to 30 or 3 years. It's amazing. It's hard work. It's not easy. And life happens. Oh my God, does life happen? I can't even tell you. But I did come to believe that power greater than yourself can restore me to sanity. I got that with my sponsor showing up at meetings and working the program. When I made a decision to turn my willingness over my God of my understanding, because the God of my understanding was, get me out of this situation. I promise I won't do it again. Get me out of this, and I swear things will be different. They weren't. I would just kept going back and going back and making things worse and making excuses, and it was all your fault. It was always his fault, or the job's fault, or the car's fault, or the people on the road's fault. I never, ever took it upon myself to take any responsibility when I was out there. I like taking the responsibility now. I like taking the action, because I can't do anything about you crazy people, but I can do something about this crazy person. I can do something about it. I can be aware of what's going on. I can take the acceptance. I can own it. I can take the responsibility, and I can put it into action. That's what this program is all about, and it's the weight just lifted off my shoulders. When I had that availability, I didn't know that I could do that. I didn't know that was available. And to just take all that other stuff off the plate, all those people, all the things that went wrong in my life, all the badness, and just focus on me, it's a lot easier. It took so much away. And the list was still long. Trust me, I still got a lot of work to do, but at least I had a focus point. And so that's where it brings us to step four. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, of what we get to take a look at, of what we get to do. And it's easy when you put it into columns, but it's hard when you look at it at first. We have in Fresno what's called the four-step study, and I took that. I took a box of Kleenex. I took a teddy bear. I took some writing paper, and I took all this stuff because I was scared to death. And my sponsor kept asking me, have you written your four steps down? And I said, well, no, because I'm going to this workshop, and it's like, you know, in a few months, so I'm going to work on it then. Here she goes, okay. And
I got to that workshop, and it was no big deal. It took the fear out of it. They had everything out. All I had to do was fill in the little boxes and start to work on them one by one. This program makes it simple, but I like to make it complicated. For some reason, I love to trudge. I love to make it hard. I like to make it complicated. I still like to say it's white when it's black. I like to fight on every opportunity. And I don't know why. It's just my character defect, and we're working on it. But that's what I get to do. I get to recognize things in this program. So I did get to admit to God. I got to admit to other people, my sponsor, exactly the nature of what was going on and my wrongs, and admitting it and taking responsibility. I was so ready to have God entirely remove all my shortcomings. The thing of it is, He lets you keep some of those. He lets you get to work on them. Or He, you know, that's His deal of what He wants to take away. And that's okay, because my shortcomings help me become aware of it. Because if everything was just peaches and king and bursting right away, I wouldn't respect or appreciate this program the way that it is. Because I've never had those bright and shiny moments where everything was perfect all the time, 24 hours. I was on a pink bubble for a while and kind of faking it till I was making it. And then I broke down in the program and somebody stood up and said, "Hallelujah." And I said, "You." Because I was a little pissed. But then I got it, you know, because I broke. I started breaking that wall, but it hasn't stopped yet. Because I still cry in meetings. I still cry when I speak. I still cry when I talk about stuff. It's just the way it is. And I get to accept that. I get to grow. I get to be emotional. I wasn't emotional for 31 years. I was tough. I was a brazen. I was an asshole. I was, I don't know if we can say that here, but I was. And I own that. And I had walls that were just thicker than the Great Wall of China. I mean, you just couldn't break through, and I could do anything. I would up and move and leave you and go to another state, do the geographical change, because I am me and you are you, and bye. And this program gets to allow me to now feel those emotions. You know, I just get to live through stuff. I get to accept life on life's terms, or I like to say life on God's terms, because I never know what's going to happen. So I did humbly ask Him to remove my shortcomings. And like I said, there's still a nice, healthy handful that's still there. I'm a little over 4 years sober, but I'm still working on them. I'm a work in progress, that's for sure. And I, like I say, I like to keep it inside of this. And I like to look at my hand, because anything outside of it, I can't deal with. I can't work with. And those principles that we have in the program, it helps me accept things that are going on in my relationship, my marriage. I got married in sobriety. I got a new job in sobriety. I've been able to start acquiring things, because I did lose everything. I was homeless. I got my shit packed in a storage unit for me, as I was, you know, no longer welcome. And now I get to have the miracles and gifts of the program because of the program. I have a spiritual relationship with God that I never knew. I never knew that you could talk to Him and pray and be thankful for everything. I'm thankful for those drawings on the wall. I'm thankful for these people. I'm thankful for the air. And I can go on and on and on. I fall asleep at night just being thankful. I have all my fingers and toes. I have my legs. I'm able to speak, smell, you know, touch, feel, taste. All those things are just the tip of my great gratitude list. You know, besides my husband and my job and my sobriety, I'm sober today, just for today. I know for sure, at least through this hour, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to walk out and take a drink. And that's what I have. You know, I have that today, and I can own that, and I can really appreciate that. So I got the opportunity to make a list of all the persons that I had harmed. That was fun. And I got to make a direct amends to my mom right out of the gate, kind of put her through hell and call her on to circumstance and say, you know, thanks, and just kind of run the mill with that. And I got to make amends to people. What I really appreciate is making amends when I do something wrong right away. Like Tonight, on the way over here, my husband and I, we got in a little tiff. And I was walking out the door because I was right. And so if I would have kept that, if I would have just rolled with it and stayed with it, I don't know where that would go. But it took me maybe 5 minutes. I'm like, I probably should call my sponsor over it. Even though he's wrong, I want to find out what I can say to him to make sure that he knows he's wrong in a nice and loving way. Yeah, it didn't work out that way. Guess who got to call back and make an amends? So I did. And, you know, it's okay, but I get to do that. That resentment would have built. That ego would have blown up. The maturity of that bacteria would have grown in me. And it just, it takes me down the wrong road. I can see myself. When I make those kind of mistakes, I can see myself and just how it would go. And you know what it would be? It's division and just keeping me away from all the goodness that I have in my life right now. So I really love how this program works. I'm so grateful that I was blessed with the gift of desperation and the willingness to call my sponsor and to reach out. And she gets to tell me I'm wrong a lot. But that's okay. You know, I have a lot to work on, you know, and I recognize that and I get to own it. Whether I like it or not, it helps it. And, you know, me be able to make the steps forward in life. So I do continue to take personal inventory. Some things I don't understand, like she'll say, okay, you need to do a 4-step on that. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? You know, you take the situation at work or my mom in hospice, and I don't know. I don't understand all the tools of the program and what exactly it means, but I get to ask her, and I get to take that time, and she explains it to me, what we need to do. Because I need things broken down to me, because like I said, I love to overcomplicate things. I like to make things harder than they are. I like to make it drawn out. And I think I'm just now figuring this out. I think my intentions are to wear out the other person that's trying to break it down to me so that they'll just give up and say, do what you want to do, because that's what I want to hear. I just figured that out. That's awesome. See? Work in progress. So we get to stop through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. I love that part. I wake up every single morning on my knees. I say the 7th step prayer and I say the Lord's Prayer before I start my day. I don't even get out of bed yet because from the bed to the floor, I could do something wrong. I could screw something up and I don't want to take that chance. So I roll over and then I get on my knees and I start right there because I have too much going on up here. That I don't want to allow myself that opportunity to start out the day in some kind of negative manner because they're right there if I let them to get to me. Then I read the reflections every single day. I have a life recovery Bible that I read every single day. I love it. I'm actually loving reading the Bible now. I love, every time I read the daily reflections, do you know that today's reading wasn't in there last year? Did you know that? I swear, it wasn't. I read it this morning and I'm looking and I was like, God, that's genius. Where was that last year when I needed it? Well, it was there, but my mind was like this. A little bit tunnel vision. And it's really cool because the more I read it, the more I learn. And it is the same words, but it has a whole new meaning day after day. And I just love that about this program. My spiritual awakening in this program was you people. God talks to me through you people. I don't hear that direct voice. I don't have direct emails from God. I don't get text messages. I don't know what to say. I don't get anything in the mail from God at all. But when I show up in meetings, I can hear Him through you. And every time that you share, there's always, always, always something that I take from a meeting. I don't care what kind of mood I'm in. I guarantee you when I walk out that door that I'm a lot more grateful. Because I don't want your crap. You guys put your stuff on the table. If we were to put it on a spinner, I'd take my own stuff back. But I get to take the good stuff, all the good stuff, the directions, the solution, and I get to bring that home with me, and I get to learn from that. So I'm really grateful to be here. This program is just amazing. My sponsors, because I do work an Al-Anon program as well. So I have an AA sponsor and I have an Al-Anon sponsor that I call all the time, and they are always there for me. But I have a list of people that I can call that I'm in contact with at any given time that for some reason they're not available. I use those phone numbers. It's so important to use those numbers and to reach out. And this really is an amazing program. I swear it'll change your life. You just have to be a little willing, and I'll keep coming back. Thanks.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Jennifer?
Anybody, anything?
Yes, sir. In the white shirt.
It's amazing. It happens to me so much, more than you realize. Because every time when I call my sponsor, I'm talking out the program to her or the situation, more like, and I'm just like, oh, I'm just not figuring it out. And I end up working out the problem, and she's just, And I'm like, oh, yeah. So it's awesome. I appreciate that. Thanks for recognizing that.
Yes, sir, you in the red.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Yes, I can tell you about a resentment. Let me think of the details exactly. A resentment I had that was starting to build with my husband, that I would need, if he had a problem, he wouldn't, and he's working on this, but his ability to take that to me or say, hey, I need to talk, I would always come to him and say, because my sponsor taught me that I need to have compassion, or if I see something's wrong with him, I need to be the one to say, hey, I noticed something's wrong. Do you want to talk? And so it was really recent. It was within the past couple of days that I talked to my sponsor about it. And I said, you know, I said, I'm kind of building a resentment about me always going to him because I'm okay, but I see something wrong with him and he won't come to me and talk to me about it. And she said that I get to be the listener, and that if he, when he's willing or if he wants to talk, that I get to be the compassionate and loving one. And there are times where I don't always have to be that aggressive one and talk to him, because maybe he's not ready, and maybe there are times that I was pushing him when he wasn't. So I just get to allow him to be himself, and my sponsor walked me through this, of where I get to, when he's ready, just be compassionate and loving and understanding. Good question. You in front. I do. I get on my knees very, very first thing in the morning. I say the 7-step prayer. I say the Lord's Prayer. I read out of the daily reflections every single day, and I read out of my life recovery Bible. I'm in constant contact with both my sponsors, and not on a daily level do I meet with my sponsors, but at least once a week I meet with both of them, either on the phone or in person. And on a daily basis, there is something that usually comes up in the day that I need to call my sponsor about. And I call her about work stuff, about relationship stuff, something that's itching inside of me, because I can't make decisions for myself worth crap. I have to call her sometimes to make a decision whether I can go to the bathroom or not. I'm so screwed up in here. So I, on a daily basis, there's something that comes up. And if she's not available, the other one is, or somebody is. Or I use my tools and I write it out. You know, I'm like, okay, and I can see it for myself. So I work the program, and I stay close to God. Yes, ma'am.
How long before, like, were you in the program before you found your sponsor? And did you go through a couple before you found the right one?
That's a great question. Did everybody hear the question okay? She asked how long I was in the program before I found my sponsor, or if I was able to go through a few of them before I found the right one. My sobriety started... Let me back up a little bit and correct that. I came into the program and I got a sponsor the first time, and I wasn't ready, and I went back out after a week. And then a year later, I came back to the doors of AA. I was desperately ready, and I found my sponsor within 3 days. She came through the door, and I swear it was like the doors opening, the angels singing, and I go, I want her to be my sponsor. And Cindy was sitting next to me, who I didn't know at the time, also had her as my sponsor. And I said, I want her to be my sponsor. How do I ask her? She goes, you just ask. And I go, oh. I was just so new and nervous, not a natural tick at all, but so new, I just asked. And so it was 3 days, and I've had one sponsor in AA my whole sobriety. She's put up with me. Yeah. Yes, sir. The one in blue shirt in the back, and then I'll answer you again. Yes, sir.
Did you ever experience early on in the times of the order of Daniel Drew did, the session, like what? And if so, how did you get through it if you were not reachable by anybody?
I absolutely did go through that. As a matter of fact, it was very early on in my sobriety. My ego kept me sober. It happened on Thanksgiving Day, that day when I wanted to drink, and this is just BS, and I couldn't imagine my life without alcohol anymore. I couldn't imagine no alcohol during Super Bowl or New Year's Eve or Christmas or dealing with family or anything to make me happy, to keep me sad, to do whatever. It was really hard for me to imagine, and I honestly thought you guys were going to teach me how to drink, like, you just have a glass of water, you wait 20 minutes, and then you have a shot, and then you wait another 20 minutes, and then you have a drink of water. That's what I thought I was going to learn. Not that I can't have alcohol anymore, and that I have a disease, and my body rejects it. I was like, what? So my ego kept me sober. I prayed. I kept going to meetings. The people I was blessed to be around, I think that was a godsend, that I was shoved around people because I didn't want to be, and they would drag me to meetings. They would make me promise to go to something, some event, some meeting, some business thing, and you people kept me sober. Just going to a meeting, and I just would like fall into your arms, and you drag me and take me, and it was the program, the love of this program. Look at you guys. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. And you in the white shirt, did you have another question?
Yes.
Thankfully, is in the program. I'm a type of person, I wouldn't be able to marry a person that wasn't in the program because I would need somebody to understand. My family, my blood family, they didn't understand for a long time. My mom recently finally went to, we have what's called a gratitudinity meeting where Al-Anon, AA, everybody comes together. My mom literally got to speak. And she said that she finally got it because she didn't understand. She was just like, why do you have to go to so many meetings? You just went to one. I need you here. I'm like, got to go. So it was really hard. They thought I was, can't you get over it? Or can't you do something else? Or why are you going to so many meetings? You know, you just went to one this morning. It was really hard with my family, so I just stopped reaching out to them. I had to stay close to this program because they didn't understand. Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, sir.
Have you ever had any kind of resentment with AA?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't recall right off the bat. I'm not going to lie and say no. Probably when I was treasurer, because I hated it. But maybe the response at first. I resented the responsibility, and like the meeting will go on without me, or you'll figure out how to open the door, or because I didn't get it at first. But once I followed through, I trudged through, and I committed myself to the commitment and followed through with it, I finally grew to understand and love how this program works. It works, and it works for a reason. It's put together exactly how it's supposed to. And I was just sometimes grit my teeth and just go through it and learn to appreciate, looking back, the reason why I was asked for some reason to do that job at that moment, and I would just accept it. I didn't know how to say yes, and so I said yes to this program because it worked for so many people, and so you'd ask me to do something and I would show up. Like, I didn't really want to be here tonight at first, because my husband and I were having a thing, and I was just like, the excuses were coming up. I'm tired. It's way over there. You know, I have to drive there. But no. And then I was just like, oh my God, here we go. I can't. I need to get there. I need to hurry up and get there, because something's wrong and it's trying to battle with me. And I just stick close to this program because I'm going to feel so good driving home. Do you have any idea? I mean, all the peace and the serenity and all you people's faces are going to be in my mind. I'm going to be like, yay. So it's cool. You stick with this program, you're going to be okay. Thank you for having me here tonight. I love you guys, and I'll keep coming back.
It's in Al-Anon.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Al-Anon is, and perhaps most importantly, how does somebody know if Al-Anon might be helpful to them?
Everybody needs Al-Anon. I came across Al-Anon because my father was an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic, and I had to deal with myself. If anybody that has any life problems, I don't know if I said this at first, but Al-Anon, we're talking about Al-Anon and how somebody would know how they would need it. It's mainly the program states that, you know, they follow AA's direction and guidelines and their steps. It's for anybody that has a family member, a friend, anybody that you know, knew of, have an association with, before, past, future, anybody that had anything to do with alcohol. Whether or not you think it affected you, it did. And not only that, they work it through life and dealing with codependency and enabling, and they have Al-Ateen for younger people. Al-Anon has been an amazing program because I do live with an alcoholic in recovery, but he still has alcoholism. And it helps me to be able to have a relationship. It helps me to be able to detach with love for my boss at work and let people live their lives. It's an amazing program, and I highly suggest everybody get an Al-Anon, to be honest with you.
Again, thank you, and I love you, and thank you so much for being here.